Quick shout out to our sponsor, Dealfront. Struggling to reach decision makers? Dealfront has you covered. It's your all-in-one platform to target ideal leads and close deals. Dealfront stands out with live European data in multiple languages, giving you insights and access others can't match. Finding the right decision makers is now just a few clicks away. Dealfront combines market signals, web visitors, and EU company databases, all while ensuring GDPR compliance. Ready to transform your sales game? Get your free demo at dealfront.com. That's dealfront.com. Or check the link in the description and show notes. Elevate your sales strategy with Dealfront. Hello, listeners, watchers, subscribers, and fans of the show. Welcome to the SDR Disco Call Show. My name is Neil Buyan, your host. If this is your first time joining, this show is all about learning about the world of sales development and tech sales. And what we love to do is meet great people from across the globe to understand how do they get into this industry? What learnings can they share with us to help you and our audience become what we call happy sellers? And this person is a ray of sunshine and somebody that I've loved to be speaking to over the past year. And they were introducing me via one of the other SDR leaders in their company said, you need to come and speak to this lady. And also shouts out to Neelish as well. If you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and a subscribe. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe, because it really does help us get out this message for brand new SDRs from across the globe. But yes, without further ado, could you introduce yourself? Who are you? Where are you based in the world? And what is it that you're passionate about?
Yes, and before I do that, thank you so much for having me, Neil, on this podcast. I've been following your journey for obviously for the past year and a bit now. So I'm excited to be here. So thank you for inviting me. And I guess a quick introduction from me. My name is Annabella. I have been working in sales development within the tech industry for the past 6 years, working for Redis. Redis is basically a data platform, one of the most loved databases out there that powers thousands of applications that we use on a daily basis, our mobile banking apps, our retail apps, to make sure that they are fast, they are secure, they are reliable, and basically give us the best end user experience, right? So I started my journey there as an individual contributor, as an SDR, 6 years ago. Wow, seems like a million years ago. And I have been very fortunate to have been given that opportunity to grow my career within the company from an SDR into a director role within 5 years. So I spent the past year of my journey and career at Redis being a director of sales development, basically spearheading the expansion of an international organization in EMEA and APAC as well. And of course, being responsible for the go-to-market motion and strategy. So prior to Redis, of course, my background was in travel retail. So I joined one of the biggest travel retail organizations, World Duty Free, where I started again as an IC, worked my way into leadership, and I spent 7 years. I guess what you need to know about me, I'm from Hungary, as you can hear from the accent, but I've been working in the UK for the past 20 years. I have a wonderful family, two wonderful sisters, one of them being a twin, an incredible mom and partner, and the craziest English Springer Spaniel you can ever imagine. Be on my toes every day and takes me for a walk every day. And what I really love to do in my spare time is reading. I'm passionate about cooking. It's in my blood, and baking. And I'm obsessed with paying by numbers at the moment.
Love that, Annabella. Thank you so much. And that is a strong intro, and we welcome you to the SDR Disco Call Show. So thank you so much for that. So obviously, like Annabella, one of the things that has really stood out to me is that you've had quite an inspirational journey of, you know, getting into sales and obviously moving from SDR to SDR leadership. And there's a lot of elements to your story that I'd love for you to share on our show today. And normally at this point, ladies and gents, is we like to go to our guest's LinkedIn profile. And as a gentle reminder, we will always be sharing our guests' LinkedIn profiles in the show notes. So if you want to connect with Annabella after watching this episode today, you want to pick her brain or anything, feel free to reach out. But Anna, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me, like when we first met, is, you know, this story here where you said at age 18, I made the bold decision to move from the UK from Hungary without speaking a word of English, driven by my deepest life mission, which is to be able to support our family. So, you know, in your own words, Anna, could you tell us, like, what was happening at that point? How did you, you know, get introduced to sales? And, you know, how did you make that journey from you know, being an SDR to working in leadership?
Absolutely. I think what I'm going to start with is, how did I get into sales? Because it's super relevant. So I've always been in sales. I know a lot of people say that they fell into sales. For me, it was very different. I was born into it. Both my parents were working in hospitality, and they were running pubs and restaurants when we were younger, between me and my twin sister. So we were always helping out. And I still vividly remember the day when I must have been 10 years old, when my dad said to me and my twin sister that, okay, the summer break is coming up. You two are going to go outside the restaurant and sell ice cream to everyone.
Love it.
At age 10, thinking, are you serious? You asking us to spend our whole summer break selling ice cream? So totally outside of our comfort zone, super young. And I think in the first 2 weeks, we probably ate more ice cream than what we saw. So my dad was really best pleased about that. But after the couple of weeks, we started kind of building up the confidence to start talking to people a little bit more, even kind of venture out from behind the counter and start the ice cream to people and really build up those social skills early on, you know, when we were really young. And we did that for our first 5 years of being teenagers as well. So that's where my sales journey has started, honestly.
Love that.
And of course, during school, I was studying hospitality, shocking, tourism and catering with my sister as well. And there were a lot of work experiences that we had to do during the summer. So that involved being in restaurants, front of house, back of house, and really just dealing with people and also understanding the kind of fuller picture of what does it like to serve people.
People.
Not necessarily sell, but serve people. Mm. Not customers, but always right. So that's when it really started. And what really motivated me to come to the UK and make that really brave decision, because it was, especially that I didn't speak the language at all, two things. One of them, my twin sister, she decided to come here for the summer. We were very lucky that our other sister was already here, and she's built a new life for herself already. So she helped my sister find a summer job. And she came, and obviously we had this twin thing, as you know, I've mentioned this to you before, where you have this really closeness and you feel like your other half is missing. So I was really struggling with that. We both were. So of course, after 2 months, she decided she's going to stay in the UK. So I had no choice. I was coming. She was one of the inspiration behind me coming to the UK, both of my sisters, actually. And of course, I did mention it in my LinkedIn profile as well, that I wanted to become that support pillar for family, for my mom. My mom has been, honestly, working so hard all her life and years when we really struggled. And I want to give a huge shout out to our other sister who has supported us through. Gabby has supported us through some of the tough times. And without her, I wouldn't be here. Okay. So that was the other motivation behind me coming here. And of course, we were doing our A-levels. We've done it. We were like, what are we going to do next? And of course, my twin sister has kind of started this effect, and I just followed.
I love that. So obviously it's very, like, family is a very big key theme within your life and those early foundations of, you know, serving customers at age 10, learning those social skills, being able to talk to them, feeling that you was missing your other half with your sister, like when coming to the UK. And it sounds like there's a stepping stone. Each sister was helping each other to come into their own. And then obviously coming to the UK and making that decision to, you know, migrate and set up a new life. And what was going through your mind, like, when you entered the UK and, like, language was limited? Like, what was that learning experience like for you, Anna?
I was petrified. So whoever is thinking about making that big move right now and listening to this, if it scares you, it's a good thing. Do it. Because that's when we really grow. That's when we really step outside of our comfort zone and do something that will open some incredible doors for us. I mean, just look at my journey, right? 20 years ago, I never would have thought in a million years that I will become a leader I am today. And I will have these experiences and learn the language. So it was, I was petrified. It was the hardest thing was, I think for me, is when I was living with a family. So just imagine living with four kids, two adults, complete strangers to you, and you're coming into their home. They're welcoming you in, which is a huge deal, okay? And especially back then as well. And you are there, you're standing there, and you can't express yourself. And it was so difficult not to be able to speak to them. And back then, there were no mobile phones, okay? So I got maybe a couple of hours of time on Skype where I could speak to my mom and back then my partner. That was really tough, you know? But I've learned so much in that first year when I was being an au pair and looking at kids and cleaning the houses. And you really started to appreciate, you know, just life in general and the curves that you can be on. And it was tough not speaking the language. But both me and my sister, luckily we had each other back in the same country. And we went to college together for a couple of months to learn English. We really wanted to learn it faster. But to be quite honest with you, whilst that was a good experience to be surrounded with others who are just like us, so we didn't feel like dummies, where we really learned the language was, honestly, and please don't laugh, but BBC News with the subtitle. It was the best thing ever. So if you're watching anyone and you're really struggling with English, BBC News, subtitle on. Watch.
That is an awesome tip, and I'll quickly interject to say why. I was coaching this really young, nice guy this Wednesday, and he's based out, I believe, within Pakistan, and he's really trying to break into tech. And he's saying that he's going through a lot of interviews with hiring managers, but the one bit of feedback he's giving is because English isn't his first language, this may cause a barrier for the prospects in America and in the UK. And being a former hiring manager, I've had people that have come with different accents and languages. And I really respect people that where English isn't your first language, but you've taken upon yourself a journey to learn and try to improve it. But your tip of watching the BBC News and watching the subtitles to learn, that's freaking awesome. So I'm going to save that and I'm going to send it to that person. So thank you for sharing that. And, you know, talking about this experience of entering into the UK, going through this learning with your sister, going into college, a lot of good things were happening, as you said, but I also wanted to know what was it like for you understanding the nuances of UK culture and how people interacted with each other? Because coming from Hungary to the UK, I'm really curious to know, what was that like for you?
Very interesting question. And I think from as far as I can remember, there weren't any major differences, to be honest with you. And if there were, I didn't really let that kind of stigma stop me from just being myself and just focusing on what I needed to focus on, my mission and my purpose. It was the same with sales, by the way. You know, coming into sales, I was probably the most naive person as well, coming into sales. And I had no other perceptions, right? I had no experiences. I didn't really know anyone in that tech industry who could tell me all the stories, which actually worked as an advantage to me, right? Because I just focused. But, you know, the culture, of course, was it different? Yes, it was. But, you know, it was a mixed culture still. I wasn't just surrounded with, you know, people who were British. I was surrounded with cross-cultural nations, right? And people, Polish people, some Hungarian people, you know, German. The family that I was with, for example, they were half German, half British, right? So for me, it was very similar to what I was already used to. And because I was 18 when I left Hungary, I don't think, quite honestly, Neil, that I really had the opportunity to embrace the culture of Hungary as much. So the comparison wasn't that, you know, big in my mind. I just embraced coming to the UK and just being surrounded with other people. I think one really important thing to mention here as well, because you said that you talk to a lot of people who want to break into the SDR world and in tech, is look, just focus on what you need to do. Just focus on your mission.
Anna, thank you so much for sharing. I think that was some really great insights there, as well as to, you know, what it was like coming to the UK and all of those learnings. So I'm very curious to know, is like, okay, so how did sales and following a sales and tech career, how did you come across that? What was your thoughts about applying? And then what was it like going into that sort of world?
So the tech world and the way I joined was through someone who knew someone who was hiring at Redis for an SDR. So it wasn't through me applying for the job itself, but it was through my network, basically. Huge shout out to Lindsay Rees. And we can talk about that in a second a little bit more. Yep. At the third year of my university journey, when I was going through writing my dissertation and thinking about what's next for me, because of course I left a career behind in terms of retail when I joined university and I was working part-time in marketing and retail. I was thinking, you know, what's next for me? And I started researching the industries and the job roles that were booming at that point in time. And what always came out on top was the tech industry, databases, and SDRs. Apparently, that was a huge booming, and it still is. Okay, let's be honest. It was a booming job title, really, to go for. So what I did, I, of course, did the usual thing that you would do, is send out hundreds of resumes and try and apply for as many jobs as you possibly can. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the best, advice, really, for people to do this, because whilst I knew the top 10 companies that I really wanted to work for, and of course, those were the first ones that I've sent out the CVs for, really being a little bit more strategic with what you want to do and who you want to work for and understand what kind of, you know, culture you want to get into the industry. I knew that it was going to have to be, you know, maybe tech, and I could try my luck in tech. And luckily, 5 years after graduating, this friend, who's now my mentor, and Lindsay, who has been an incredible part of my journey at Redis, she interviewed me. And I still remember the first day when I walked into Tower 42 in Liverpool Street, and I had an interview with her, with the VP of sales, with the other SDRs, and everybody involved who I would possibly be working with, right? So that's how I really got into the tech world and into Redis, through a friend of a friend, and they took a huge gamble on me.
And it paid off, right? Oh. Paid off, yeah. But, you know, there's some interesting, I think, 2 points from that journey I'd love to pick upon, which was, obviously, you've done your research and you did your due diligence. So, again, another example this week, I've been coaching an SDR that's thinking about, you know, moving into their next tech company. Mm-hmm. And they kind of hit me with, like, saying, you know, are there any sort of companies that you would recommend? And I'd be like, dude, I know over, like, 150 tech companies, but it's really hard to just recommend.
Yes.
And the advice that I gave to that person is, you know, you need to kind of come up with a short list, and as you mentioned, of a place that you want to work. And I said to this person, like, what are your passions or interests or hobbies? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was an interest in AI, because that's a booming upcoming industry and there's a lot of change happening in there. Mm-hmm. They also had an affinity to, the military, where they said they came across a solution which helps provide diagnostic information with services that the military do, so that soldiers are able to do things properly. I said, okay, that's cool. He said he loves sports and all of that. So I said, okay, cool. So think about some of the apps that you're using or some of the things you use in your day-to-day life with software. If you like those things or those apps, maybe those are companies that you could be looking for. So the point that I was trying to get to him was, you need to go into something where you could feel that you would benefit from such a service, so therefore you can promote that service to other people. But as you mentioned, you kind of had a short list of top 10. How did you come to the conclusion of those top companies you wanted to go for?
Yeah, so I've always been very passionate about the beauty industry as well. Right. And this is where I started my journey at World Duty Free. Is I was on the beauty section initially, and then I moved around all the different sections, liqueur, luxury, you name it. But beauty was really what I was very passionate about. So one of the initiatives that I took as a customer service consultant was that I'd written up this little book about all the different perfume houses, right, to help not just myself, but all the other, I almost said SDRs, but no, all the other customer service assistants to build up on our product knowledge. So we are able to talk to our customers who are coming through at the airport trying to buy a gift or surprise themselves with something with better product knowledge. and advise them better, right? And do a little bit service more than you imagined. So that was one of the things that I did initially, as, you know, just writing that book up. And that was why, you know, my leader at that time has also seen the potential in me, because I wasn't doing the day-to-day jobs. I wasn't just doing, you know, the minimum. Every day I tried to go above and beyond of what I was doing. So it was really important for them to see that, and for me to do other things as well, to grow in my career. I think I lost your question. Can you just repeat your question for us?
Yeah, happy to help. So, like, you know, coming to the conclusion of, all right, Annabella's 10 top companies she wanted, but how did you come up with those 10?
Got it. So basically, as I was doing this project, yes, I came across all the different companies, beauty companies and beauty and I knew that the vision and the culture of L'Oreal, for example, was really close to my heart at that point. I even wrote an assignment at university about L'Oreal and, you know, maybe Molton Brown, right? Some of these organizations came really close to what I thought I wanted to do and what I felt I aligned with at that time. So, of course, I applied for those jobs first, the entry-level jobs. And then from my research about the tech industry, I started applying for the different startups as well. I think back then, I may not have put as much emphasis on looking deeper into these organizations. And I think this is nowadays super important, because you need to find the right fit for yourself. And of course, it needs to be a mutual fit between you and the company. And it's important that you understand what your values are, what your superpower is, what energizes you, right? And understand whether their mission and vision aligns with yours. So I didn't go as deep. So my advice really now to all newcomers, and if you're trying to break into the industry, is do your research, but first understand what is it that you are looking for from these organizations, because it's a two-way street.
Yeah, 100% agree, because thinking back into people that I've coached, worked with, you know, managed, and also my own journey of looking for companies, I treated my research of companies the same way that I do prospecting. So, you know, visiting their website and understanding what was their, you know, company's journey from being a founding business to, you know, scale up startup, etc. I'd read the news articles from like TechCrunch and see what's the story been, what are the growth plans, expansion, etc. Then, you know, going on LinkedIn and seeing their company posts, what are they talking about? What are the personas they're trying to reach out to? But, you know, something I advise SDRs to do today is go connect with the people that are already doing your job or the job that you want to do. And, you know, ask for like 15 minutes of their time to ask, you know, three questions. You know, why did you join this company? What do you love about this role? And what have been your biggest learning curves or mistakes whilst in that job? Because the way that I look at Anna is, you, all right, everybody has, you know, 168 hours within their week. And in essence, you're giving away potentially 40 hours of your life for a role. So to your point, understanding, if you're willing to give that time up for a role, then you need to be happy in that environment, that culture. It has to bring something to you to help you grow. And you've got to see yourself happy working with those people and, you know, selling that solution, dealing with a hell of a lot of rejection, as SDRs do as well. But being able to think, yeah, do you know what? I'm cool with this. So I think doing that due diligence and research is really key. Because, you know, you could be there for a year, 6 years or anything, and you want to be happy in that time. So it's like a partnership, right?
100%. And you mentioned a really important point earlier about look at the products that you're already using that you feel passionate about, right? Is look at what would you be passionate about selling those products to your prospects, right? And to your named accounts and to these organizations, because that's all it takes. Honestly, when you're passionate about something that you're selling, you're 80% there. The rest, you can learn.
Yeah, 100%. And kind of segueing onto the learning element. So an important piece that you mentioned was Lindsay, this person that helped, you know, was mentoring you. So could I ask the question for the audience that are thinking about looking for a mentor? What is a mentor in your definition? And how do you look for somebody like that, whether that's internally or externally, Anna?
Yeah, it's some look from my perspective, a mentor is someone who is there to be part of your success and help you and guide you through your journey, and someone who tells you not just what you want to hear, and as a matter of fact, less of that and more of the truth, right? And the harsh truth. And Lindsay has done that very well for me in my first 5 months at Redis, because those first 5 months for me were really challenging. And so much so that we sat down and we've gone through a personal improvement plan, okay? And that's not an easy conversation.
No.
But and at that time, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I feel so embarrassed because you took a chance on me. You have taken a gamble and I have failed you. Not only failed myself, I failed you. So, you know, that's when I decided, that's it. I haven't given this role really what it truly deserves. And I want to focus and carry on just pushing forward from that journey onwards. But she was there to tell me not just the good, but the bad and the ugly, okay? And help me through that journey. And I love that about her. And a huge shout out to her, to Ryan, to David, Freudenstein, all of my bosses, to Ben, who have really helped me throughout my journey at Redis. Because I think it's really important when you find a mentor that you can have these really honest conversations. And the way you find a mentor is it could be someone internally and someone externally to you. So for example, I read a book a few months ago, and I reached out to the author of the book because I thought, gosh, I really resonated with so much that you have just said in your book, and I absolutely love this and this part. So flattery will go a really long way, but also when you're finding mentors, you need to realize that you need to give them an idea what you would like to gain out of this partnership. I think it's so important that you set the scene and set the expectations, because trust me, a lot of people will be really willing to help you. And I am one of them, okay? I'm happy to go for a coffee break with whoever who needs a little bit of guidance and motivation. But you do need to set the scene when you're finding these mentors, so they know how they can prepare to help you. So that's my experience.
I love that. And you're right, you know, over the years, I've had people reach out to me to ask for help with coaching, or, you know, give my two cents on something. And I've gone into many calls where I'm like, so how can I help you today? And sometimes I hear the response of, I don't really know. You know, like I'm thinking about a couple of things and like that. And being a coach, that happens and it's normal. Sometimes you have that mental block and, you know, I've learned ways to tease it out of them and, you know, create a discussion. But more recently, where people have asked for my time and it's limited more nowadays, I'm like, look, if we're going to connect for half an hour, come at least with two topics where you feel that you need help, or bring examples of those emails, those calls, like bring something we can work on so it makes best use of our time together. And even if it's a case of they still are stumbling to think about, well, all right, what could we talk about, Neil? I'm like, look in your calendar. Look at, any, are there any points or blocks like meetings or calls or something you feel that you need a bit of extra support on during that week? Then that's enough, right? Because then it helps the coach or the person helping or the mentor know what to talk about in that time. Because I can say to them, like, look, 20 years of experience, there's a lot of stuff that I've done. There's a lot of mistakes. But what is it in specific that you, you know, you need help with, right? And I think I loved how you said, you know, you felt that you'd let that person down and letting yourself down. And it's normally with these failures, they're the best learnings. Kind of like what I say to SDRs is, don't just bring me calls where you've successfully booked the next step, because as you know, you've done it well, there's nothing to learn, but it's, you know, where do you feel you could have improved? That's where we learn best, right? So I'd love to also know, like, okay, so working alongside Lindsay those first 5 months, it was tough being an SDR, being put on a PIP. I've been put on a PIP as well. And it's scary. It can motivate you sometimes. It can work into your advantage. But what was life like at a high level as that SDR? And then how did you make that next step into leadership, Anna?
So I was the third SDR joining Redis for the international market at that point. And I was backfilling for someone who was already working the UK market, who got promoted into the partner role at that point. And yes, look, the first 5 months was really tough. It was, we were truly a startup. I think we, Redis was only like 108 employees at that point. So really a true startup, no processes, you know, it was, you had to be scrappy, you had to be creative, you had to do A-B testing. And I think, you know, whilst I was trying to learn as much as I could from the other SDRs who were really high performing SDRs, and, you know, shout out to them, in those days, they were really trying to help as well. I think for me, what I was really struggling with is understanding the complexity of the product itself. So I was really focused, from what I can remember, on the feature side rather than the value side.
Yeah.
Back then, 6 years ago, those were different times. You know, sales has evolved so much and prospecting has evolved so much in these recent years. But that was really the toughest part for me, why I wasn't really hitting my numbers. And I think that's when I really had to realize that, look, it's important to learn from others, but it's just as important to be your authentic self.
Yeah.
You need to find what works for you and where you see the most success and double down on that. So, you know, being on the PIP, again, I had two choices there, really. One of them could have been, I'm so freaking embarrassed, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
This is just not me. Or I could really reflect and tell myself, you know, have I really given it my best shot? Could I do more? Yes, absolutely. And I decided that I'm going to just stay focused, ramped up my activities, became, you know, a lot more productive in my day-to-day and really focused on a lot of calling activities because that's where I've seen the biggest responses, okay, and events. Back then, my first 2 years as an SDR, we were still going to face-to-face events before COVID hit. So it was beautiful because that was my superpower. My superpower was and always has been and still is to be around people. I'm a social bunny, so I like to listen to people and learn their stories and understand their pains and challenges and how we can, you know, potentially help in any way. So that was really important. But you do need to have that supporting network around you when you start a new job, which is why, you know, maybe it was a little bit more difficult for me because back then there was no body program, there was no onboarding. You know, Ben barely had any content and customer success stories to share. Whilst now, it's incredible what we have. We have probably one of the best onboarding programs at Redis. And shout out to the enablement team. But look, back then it wasn't available. So you have to go out there and be curious and do what you can, what is in your control. And this is where you need to just create some momentum for yourself. And I've worked with other SDRs on different campaigns, ABM campaigns, value selling campaigns, break into accounts and create that healthy competition.
I love that. I love that. And yeah, you know, I can remember those challenging times when you have to kind of build stuff from scratch and then, you know, find your way. And I can also, you know, relate to the technical knowledge, trying to build up that technical knowledge, especially if you're selling things like database. I can remember my days of learning about databases like Kubernetes, like trying to understand the language, SQL language, all of this stuff. Like, I got it at a grasp point, but, you know, like where we may sell a feature, but then it's trying to understand the value. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while to figure out how do you demonstrate value and how do you talk about value. And I think a really cool thing one of my early CEO tech CEOs taught me is like you need to have the command of the message. So kind of sell the vision of like how the world is changing, what is the impact of those changes and what's a new way of working. And within, you can find that value. That's the bit that will resonate with people, you know, the most. So, you know, living that SDR life, seeing your peers around you, building this together, like what was that catalyst that said, all right, Anna, I'm now thinking about stepping up to leadership. What was going through your mind to come to that conclusion? And then what was it like once you'd accepted leadership?
Yeah, excellent question. And look, I always knew that I wanted to go back into leadership because that was my calling. That's what I enjoyed most when I was world duty free, is I had a large team of customer service assistants who I loved. Some of them were amazing to work with. Some of them were a little bit more difficult. So I've gone through a whole kind of performance management cycle with all of them, the one-to-ones, and seeing them shine and change for the better, right? Was one thing that has really inspired me and kept me going. So even when I went back to university and gave my career and I thought, I'm going to start from fresh, I knew that my end goal is going to be to get back into leadership. And I do remember talking to Lindsay about this, you know, even when I joined, that this is my plan, my long-term plan to be there. And what do you think? Is there going to be a path for that? Of course, back then, Redis was a very small startup. Okay, so it was very difficult to say what that professional growth journey would look like for an SDR. So let's be honest. But, you know, I knew that. And recently I've done a keynote speaking session at my university, at Buxton University, where I was talking about my journey. I was talking about the challenges, how I've overcome that, and what the students can do now to set themselves up for success. So when they come out to the, you know, this scary world and life and join their first organization, they're already set up for success. It was really interesting because I said to them, look, I was very, very lucky that I knew what my calling was. I knew that I wanted to be there and add value to others and inspire others, motivate others, share my story, and just help them grow, right? And become almost that role model for future SDRs who are coming in. So I knew, but not everybody is as lucky to understand that is their calling. And I did raise this point during my talk. And I said, look, if you don't know, that's okay too. What you do need to realize, though, is what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And just go through, you know, with your manager. And this is just as much on the managers and the leaders as it is on the individuals. They need to on their careers. They need to on their life. But the leader is there to coach them through this and see their potential. And I think I mentioned this in another podcast that I have done recently, is, you know, you do need to own this yourself. And it's up to you to take this to your manager and then for your manager to work alongside you on this, right? The skill sets, how can you build up these skill sets? If you think an AE role will be the next step for you, then what are the gaps? What do you need to work through, right? And how can you get there? How can I help you? What can you do that is in your control to help get there? So super important to own this, but sometimes you won't know, and that's quite right, but you will figure it out. The more you do the role itself, the more you're going to realize that, for example, you love talking to customers. You absolutely love being there in an organization, adding value and, you know, being around your customers and adding value to them. Then absolutely a sales role, a fully blown AE role or a CSR role will be the next step for you. But then sometimes you realize, you know, I love spending time with people and coaching people and mentoring people. Then a leadership role could be the next step. So it's okay not to know, but just work towards something. You know, just figure out what your strengths are and where your superpower is.
I love that. Where your superpower is. I freaking love that. And I think, you know, being a former manager where reps have approached me and said, like, Neil, how do I get to that next step? And I'm like, there are so many different paths to figuring out that next step. But if I've always said to my reps, like, if you really want my help, again, it's similar to that coaching call. Come to me with the topics that you feel that you need help with. But even then, sometimes reps said, well, I don't know. Like you said, you may not know what those steps are. So the best thing that I found worked with a lot of SDRs that I've seen this year, in the last year, was, look, if you want to go do that AE job, or you want to move into the CSM role, or you want to move into marketing, go get the job spec of that future job. And look at the responsibilities and competencies and ask yourself, what is it that you can do in your current job today that you know that you can do in that role and transfer over? But what are the things that you're not familiar with or you haven't tested out or tried with? And then we can kind of set up like milestones of tasks to complete, where it could be go shadow that department for like half a day, see how they do it, come back with your key learnings. So that, you know, when you make the transition into the next role, at least you're now prepared of what's coming. And, you know, you've had a little bit of experience of working on those things, and then you can figure out these are things that we could work on. So it could be discovery, you know, asking great questions with customers, orchestrating next steps or updating the CRM or involving other stakeholders. There are so many things we could work on. But again, coming with that menu of list of the superpowers that you want to work on, I think that would be really awesome. And there is a question that I would love to ask and get your opinion on. And I'm coming from this with, again, I don't know, because I haven't experienced this myself as a leader. Mm-hmm. But a very big topic on LinkedIn at the moment that I'm seeing from a lot of great leaders or people that have stepped up is female leadership. And a topic that I've heard and read is, you know, some females have struggled to go into leadership positions. They've come across biases, or, you know, some have steered away from because they've seen this as a male-dominated thing. But being a male leader myself, I haven't lived that life and I don't know too much about it. But I just wanted to know, do you have any advice for our female listeners that are thinking about stepping into leadership, things that they should be aware of or struggles that you may have faced? You may have not, but I'm asking from a place of I don't know. So I'd love to ask your opinion, if that's all right, Anna.
I absolutely love that question. And first of all, my biggest advice would be ignore the stigma. And I know not many people will probably say this, okay? But I love empowering women, okay? I am all for it. I am one of them, you know, woman. But ignore it, because if you continue to keep focusing on all of the things that are not going well in organizations around leadership and how there are biases, you are going to live more in your ego rather than in your conscious self, yes, where you are open-minded, where you are not afraid of these changes and challenges and applying for jobs that you're not 100% qualified for. So first of all, ignore this stigma, I would say that, okay? The beautiful thing for me at Redis was that I never really experienced that, okay? I was really fortunate to have a really powerful woman leader to kick off my journey at Redis. And yes, Was there a balance between, you know, men and female in that? Not really. Okay. But what Redis has done in the past 6 years is really try to close that gap. Okay. So a much larger percentage of women are now working in the organization. Okay. And yes, the stigma is here. Those biases are here. And I think organizations need to put a lot more work into encouraging women to get into leadership, but ultimately it is, again, it comes back to you.
Yeah.
If you don't think that you deserve a seat at that table, then, you know, then how can you expect others to believe that you should have that seat at the table, right? And please don't get me wrong. I have suffered through imposter syndrome many, many times. You know, there were QBRs, many of them, where I was literally maybe the only woman in the room. You cannot go into these QBRs and think, I'm the only woman. I'm going, oh, God.
Yeah.
You have to go in there with full confidence that you are there with all the partners that you're working with in the organization who are there to see you succeed as well. Okay, so you need to have that positive mindset around this. One of the things that I have done is I've ignored this stigma, to be honest with you. And it goes back to what I've said earlier. I was very naive coming into this industry, super naive. And slowly you start seeing things and you start building up a little bit more experience around this and how you can overcome these challenges. But honestly, the way you need to overcome these challenges is, first of all, don't hold it back in. If you have some challenges, find either a mentor or your leader or someone who you trust to talk to. Because a lot of the time we kind of suppress or depress, whichever way.
Hold it in, right?
Hold in our emotions. And I just listened to a podcast recently. It's called The Mindset Mentor. And he basically said, his name is Rob Dial. He basically said, give yourself permission to feel again. Give yourself permission. And it's so powerful because we get so busy in our day-to-day lives that you don't let yourself become vulnerable. And I think one of the biggest traits that I have as a leader and as a human being is that I am transparent and I am not shy of being vulnerable in front of my and in front of people that I work with. So, you know, I would really encourage you to, you know, just put that stigma and bias aside a little bit and take it up on you to make a difference.
Mm. Thank you so much for educating me and our listeners as well, because again, I'm ignorant to that world because I haven't experienced those things. And, you know, in the last like 20 years of like working in sales, 90% of my leaders were female, and they were strong women that I really respected. And I loved that they, you know, helped me grow, helped me understand, helped me to be vulnerable. So like when I've seen people say that all these things are happening, I haven't experienced it, so it wasn't relative to my experience. Mm-hmm. So it kind of annoys me when I'm hearing that people happen to go through those sort of things. But I love how you're saying, you know, you're okay to feel.
Yeah.
And I think the vulnerability side and empathy as a leader, I think one of the biggest lessons I ever learned, Anna, was saying, I don't know the answer. I really don't. When my reps have come to me and said, how do I do this? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. But I'm happy to find out with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is kind of like one of the key takeaways that I've given to a lot of people that I've spoken to, where they said, I'm thinking about leadership. Mm-hmm. And my advice to them is, on day one of being a leader, you don't need to have all the answers, because you find the answers on your journey as you go through the experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're honest with your reps, they'll respect you more so for saying that, you know, rather than trying to make it up or
yeah.
copying something else or something like that. So I think, the advice to, if you're thinking about that leadership thing, is you're going to learn it as you go along. And I've learned a lot, so much so that I've kind of said, I've stepped away from leadership because it doesn't bring me the energy that it once did. You know, I'm more happy now in a coaching phase where I'm not tied to a company or their revenue goals, etc., but I'm tied to the individual and helping them to be successful. But I do love it when, you know, an SDR comes into my corner and said, yeah, I'm not thinking about the A route. That's not something I want to do. I want to go into the leadership room. Okay, cool. But no, there's a lot ahead of you, like as it comes along.
Yeah, just to stop you, sorry to interrupt you there.
Because no, go.
Really, really important when you're thinking about going into leadership. I know I keep sounding like a broken record that it's you taking ownership of this, but it is so, so important that you start, if you know that this is where you want to be, start doing things now to, you know, learn about leadership. What does it take? Find other leaders in your sector and in your vertical, internal, external, who you can ask, you know, for advice. And what does it take? What do you need to do to, you know, to get to that point? And also, I think it's really important to understand what type of a leader you want to be. I think I always knew who I wanted to be and how I wanted to lead my team. I'd never wanted to manage my team. I wanted to lead my team. So understand the difference. And look, it might work for some to lead, and it might work for some to manage, but there is fundamentally a huge difference between the two, okay? As a leader, I give a lot of autonomy, trust, and empathy to my team. So they, you know, they get to do what they love, and they get to explore, and they get to fail. Oh my gosh, it's the biggest thing. Is like, so many times I was such a perfectionist where, you know, I was afraid to fail. And failure is such a big part of success. So start doing things now that will get you there. This is what I've done with Lindsay. I was there to help her make her life easier. Okay. Make your leader's life easier and position yourself. So when that position comes up, the company will have no choice but to look at you as the next.
Yeah. You're right, because I've had a lot of people come on this show saying they've accidentally fallen into sales. I didn't accidentally fall into sales, but I accidentally fell into leadership, because being that first SDR on the ground and every new hire came along, Neil was training, onboarding them, showing the way, being that person saying, look, the discovery call doesn't have to be perfect. You don't need to know everything about the solution. And I kept doing it. And then when my leadership approached, they said, Neil, we'd love for you to go into a team lead role. I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to go AE life, right? And then, you know, always asking for, okay, what's the next step? And they're like, right, so we want to make you an SDR manager. But I'm like, no, I don't want to be an SDR manager. I want to go into an AE life, right? But they're like, Neil, you said that you want to be like a founder of your own company one day. You're going to have to lead and manage people. So this is where you're going to learn those things. And, you know, an arrogant young Neil was just like, no. But it was the best experience in learning. It was kind of like my mini MBA of learning how to like manage and, you know, help with people and stuff. So I love that. So, you know, coming up to like the end of our journey here today, I'd just like to ask, what would be your what have you seen as a leader, like the two top challenges a leader may go through, and how can they, you know, navigate those challenges, Anna?
Ooh, it's very difficult to pick two. Look, I think one of the things is that you've also mentioned here is not knowing the answer is not necessarily a bad thing. I think this is where you need to, as a leader, you know, stay curious and be very honest with your team and yourself that, you know what, I don't know, but why don't I find out and I come back to you and the whole team and we discuss it together, right? And I give you that answer. So that's one thing, is don't be afraid to say that I don't know. I think so many times we're trying to please, and maybe it's just my way, the way I've done it. You know, when I joined Redis as an SDR manager and when I started my journey as a leader, is that I really wanted to know the answers to everything. And it's impossible, okay? You need to let go of that perfectionism. You need to let go of the fact that you know everything. And again, it goes back to ego versus aligned self, yes? Spend less time in your ego, more time in being open-minded and curious to learn new things. And I think when it comes to being in senior leadership as well, it's really that cross-collaboration. That is, it's a huge piece, especially if you're leading an international SDR organization. It's really finding the right balance of how you can manage these relationships. Yeah. And if something isn't working, then be black and white. Okay, that's one thing that I have learned, that sometimes maybe, and this is part of my learning curve as well, that maybe I try to adapt too much to the different cultures and the different styles of leaders. So I try to not be so black and white, and I was beating a little bit around the bush. Don't do that, okay? People appreciate honesty and transparency, so give it to them black and white, okay? If something isn't working, tell those leaders that this isn't working, but how can we solve this together? So I think coming together is really important. And look, will it work every single time? No. Okay. Not everybody is going to be willing to work with you, but as a leader, sometimes you just have to let go of it and sometimes just have to move forward. Okay. Because not everybody will have that open mind who you're working with. But as long as you do try and you put your hand on your heart, and you do try, you go through the motions, and still nothing is working, then look, sometimes it's just outside of your control.
Yeah, that's eloquently put, because there's many instances where I've realized I should have let go on certain topics, and, you know, you can't be there to please everyone.
No.
And, you know, I've had to learn in myself to be more candid and be more direct to the point. And I think I've kind of, like, the realization of, like, look, I might not know the answer or how this is going to pan out, but I just need some sort of path to move forward. And as long as we've got that, we'll figure this stuff as we go along. And that's being cross-departmentally, or, you know, working with individuals, or trying to figure out yourself, like, how are you going to take that next step? Which, indeed, asking for help is the biggest sign of strength rather than a weakness, right? You know, I left a leadership position and my mentor said to me, do you have enough cash to run for the next 3 or 4 months? And I was like, yeah. And he said, okay, now take a break, stop thinking about this, but then really ask yourself the question, what is it, your purpose? What is your mission? What makes you happy? What brings you energy? And have as many conversations to kind of explore those realms and then help you come up with a consensus decision of, okay, what do you want to do next? You know, so I think that's lovely. And I'm really eager to see and interested to know, like, kind of what the next step is for you. But maybe it could include you coming back onto the show and letting us know how things panned out and where it went. What do you think about that, Anna?
I'd love that.
Awesome. Love it. Well, a big thank you to all of our listeners, watchers, and subscribers. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please make sure on our YouTube channel that you drop a like, comment, and subscribe. And any questions for Anna, please pop them in the comments. Equally, to help us get this message out there to more SDRs around the globe, in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Anna, absolute pleasure having you on board. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, sharing your journey, and I'm confident it's going to inspire a lot of people out there. But I wish you a great Easter weekend, and most importantly, happy selling, Anna.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDRDiscoCall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.